All right, we are still in Luke chapter 10. We are in verse 18. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven, Let's look at a couple in Luke and then we'll go to Revelation. Go to chapter 11. Let's go to Luke 24, I'm sorry. I can't remember why I put Luke 11. Oh, I know what I did. Be patient. All right. We're going to Luke 11, I'm sorry. Verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, or it's actually when it says double, the body is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Now, the word bright shining is the same word as lightning, astrape. So, again, it's this thing about being double-minded or single-minded. If thy whole body is, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, the whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is double, thy body also is full of darkness. And in Matthew's version of it says, and how great is that darkness. And what does that mean? Why? What is this about? Thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. If thine eye is evil or double, even the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? It's the same, right, it's the same, you can't serve God and mammon. And every time that you lean on your own arm of understanding for any issue that you're dealing with, no matter how small, no matter how large, then by definition then the body becomes full of darkness. It doesn't matter what, if you're, you know, if it's an issue that may cost you your life, it doesn't matter if it's an issue whether you eat or not. It doesn't matter if it's any kind of anything. It's It's the light that is in you becomes darkness the moment you lean in your own arm of understanding or go somewhere else other than God for your sustenance and for your needs. What?
Well, I've emotionalized this before where the light that's in you is darkness, and it's the full deception thing where you really think you know or you really got a grip of whatever that is. And it turns out that it's all about you. It's not about him at all, and yet it seems like it's about
him. Amen. All right, let's go to Luke 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now the word shining there is again this word for lightning. Let's just leave that one alone. Let's go to now the Revelation and see where this is, where it is used in Revelation. Go first to chapter 4. After this, what's this after? This is after Christ had given him the message for the seven churches, seven candlesticks. And those seven churches are always in existence. There's always somewhere, somebody in the world that is a member of one of those seven churches. And so it's always good to reflect on that, to look at it, to make sure that you're not of the Laodiceans, which think you know something but know nothing. All right, but so now after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Or really it's a word for soon. Immediately I was in the spirit and beheld a throne. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And that word for white raiment is this word for lightning. Same word. Let's go to Revelation 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden throne, or the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Again, lightnings is the operative word. There's something about the revelation of Christ that produces this lightning-like light. All right, go to Revelation 11. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders which sat before God in their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear the name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." And the trumpets and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. I love the book of Revelation. Okay, one more. Chapter 16.
That kind of is like the lightning is companion to all these others, the thundering, the voices, the earthquake, great hail. It's a full expression of himself. Takes over everything, destroys everything.
Yeah, and that's why when we see storms and lightning and the claps of thunder and we find out, my God, I am the temple of that living God. And you begin to understand why with each clap of thunder, he's calling to you. With each flash of lightning, he's revealing himself. Each drop of rain, he's pounding at your heart, waiting for the breaking of your pride, might be set free and live. Amen? All right. Let's start in verse.
Where did you go?
Luke 16.
How much is it, Revelation 16?
That's right. I did say. I'm sorry.
Which did you mean?
Revelation 16. This is the one where there's vials of wrath are poured out. Let's just start in verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For these are the spirits of devils or demons, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of the God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and there. They see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place in Hebrew, called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty in the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. So anyhow, that's enough of lightnings, but I just wanted you to see, to be reminded, every time we hear thundering and we hear lightning, or see lightning, that it should bring our whole being back into focus of who we are and what we're doing. Just like we've talked so many times, every time you breathe out you and in him. Every time you eat solid food, you're testifying of your death and his life in you. Every time you drink any liquid, you're testifying of your worth as being part of the bride. Everything in the universe testifies of this mystery. And that's what you see him as, all and in all. Amen? All right, let's go to let's go to Luke 10, verse 19. All right. Remember, they came back and they said they were all happy and rejoicing because the spirits were subject unto them. And then he went through this. Now he's saying, notwithstanding, don't rejoice in all this other stuff. Verse 19. And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, there's a whole lot of, not a whole lot, but there are several churches in the South that they handle snakes. But it's not about handling snakes, it's about handling the evil one. The snake that is in your mind, and you have power over those serpents, and we'll talk about that. It's not just, and the scorpion represents it represents any trial, any test that you have, and you have, but you're given the power to, essentially, when you tread upon it, that means that you, it's like, it's no more, you're despising them. They just become piddling dust that you tread upon. No matter, to the world it scares everything. They fear and run. But to the believer, there's nothing to fear. Power to tread. Now the word power, there's at least 6, maybe 7 different words for power. And we're not going to go study a lot of time on that. We could spend another 6 months on power. But this word for power is exousia. It means a delegated power. I.e., it has been delegated unto you, exousia, by God in Christ, that you now have the authority and that delegated power to do these things. Okay? Another word for power is bia, and it means force or oppressive violence. And dunamis is the common word. That's the word that means it's the inherent ability of a thing. And then energia, it's only used of the power of God. Then ichus is power, meaning strength or might. And then kratos is power or dominion. So, and the word, when those words are used, we just in English have one word, and so it's confusing us. You know, because we think there's another one where we get the word dynamite, dynamo. And so, most of the time, you know, like you have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, and charismatics always use that to other people that are not speaking in tongues, and but that's not what it means. It means dynamis, which is the inherent. You have a form of godliness, but you have to do stuff, so you're denying the inherent power thereof, the inherent and native ability of God in you to do, to be. So anyway, that's just a quick overview of the word power. Okay, what?
We had a little experience in Maui up at the lava area. There's hundreds of acres of lava just everywhere. That's all there was. And it was really interesting to see something that different. So we got out of the car, my cousin and his wife, Judy and I. So we were kind of admiring and said, let's take some of this home. And his wife freaked out, oh, no, no, that's bad luck. You're not supposed to do that. Ronnie even knew about that. When I told him, he said, oh, you're not supposed to take that stuff. And my cousin, he said, oh, they're Christians. They don't believe in that. And it was really an interesting contrast that he saw that that's really.
All right. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Tread is an interesting word. It's the word pateo, P-A-T-E-O in the phonetic spelling. It means to trample or crush with the feet. And it's always used in the scripture. Sometimes it's literal, but most of the time it's used, again, in this idea that you have nothing to fear. It's you tread underfoot. It's a figure of speech for facing the greatest perils or threats. And you insult them. You despise them because they're meaningless to you. And that gets interesting when it happens. Like being held hostage or electrocuted, because sometimes you just fail miserably.
Yeah.
But you have to fail before you know what not failing looks like.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Isaiah. No, let's go. It's used for to describe Jerusalem. Let's go to Luke 21. Verse 17, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess you your souls. That's a biggie. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. Now, what's he talking about here? Is this kind of a last day thing? No, this were the instructions to the disciples of what to do when they see this destruction of Jerusalem happening in AD 70. And so because of this, the Christians left Jerusalem. Most the leadership went to Antioch. And there were not one of the believers, Christians, that were killed in that destruction of Jerusalem. Now let's go. Let's see. Look, we're studying the word tread. For there be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck, to the to those day in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down, that word that we just studied, of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, what's the times of the Gentiles? And what does this mean? Jerusalem, he predicted, this is written in what, 33 AD? He predicted that in this, the fall of Jerusalem, it'll be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles, it'll be totally destroyed. Not one hair of a Christian's head will be damaged. And it'll stay that way. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Anybody? That's what it means. The time of the Gentiles is the fulfillment, where there's no more Greek or Jew, bond or free. There wasn't in spirit, but it will be in actuality.
Yeah.
We'll study that more tomorrow. I don't feel like talking anymore. All right. Anybody have any other questions or response or anything? I can't believe how many notes I have. I wonder what's going to happen, because a lot of the notes, the paper is getting really old and it's shredding around.
You're the only one that can
All right, take a big guy.